Well, there's the last meeting. Of course, the time that we have is very short. It's on, right? Is it on? Not yet? Oh, okay.
Now it's on.
Yeah, thank you. This conference, the purpose is to give us a picture of the priesthood. And there are so many verses here in the Bible, in the outline, which is intended for you all to go home and read it yourself. You know, we've been all Christians for so many years. We don't need so many messages anymore. I think, in the university, how long will it take you to graduate?
4 years.
4 years. And you will be a computer expert, hopefully. But, you know, for Christians, even after 40 years, listening every Sunday, after 40 years, they still don't know anything. Yeah. And cannot do anything. Something is not right.
Yeah.
Right. At least from kindergarten all the way to high school graduation is 12 years, right? At least you graduated. But can you imagine you go to school, in high school after 40 years, you still don't graduate. Would you like that? No. So, let's get out of the tradition of Christianity today.
Amen.
Because this is not God's way. Right, according to Numbers, for example, the priests, at the age of 25, they went into the learning stage. Learn, be trained to be a priest. 50 years? 50 years? How many years? 5 years. You start with the age of 25, and then at the age of 30, you can now practice the priesthood.
Amen.
Of course, you need a lot more training as you're practicing. Until you're the age of 50. So how many years do you serve there? 20 years. Then you have to stop. You have to stop, not to retire. No, but first of all, you have to let the younger priests come in and serve.
Amen.
Otherwise, how can a young priest learn to serve? Right? So, but the priest who served for 20 years, they're not supposed to just retire and says, now I can take a vacation, right, for the next 20 years. No. But they have to now serve with the younger generation of the priesthood and to help them to do the right thing.
Yes.
So that the younger priests who just finished the training for 5 years, will begin to serve in a right and proper way.
Amen.
But in the tradition, if you're a pastor, you're a pastor for life. If you're an elder, nobody can replace you. Even the president of the Philippines, only how many years? 6 years. In the States, at most 8 years. And then the first 4 years, you have to prove yourself. Otherwise, the next 4 years, you're gone. Nobody's going to elect you. But unfortunately, in Christianity, my goodness, your office is at least not eternal, but lifetime. What if you're wrong? Poor congregation. They'll be suffering with you for their lifetime. Isn't that tragic? No change. No improvement. Same mistake year after year. And nobody can say anything because you're sitting on the throne there. This is not God's way, and I hope that we don't do the same mistake.
Amen.
Right. Would you like to be like that? No. Oh, praise the Lord. Who likes to be like that? Maybe some people like it, because they just come once a week, sit there and do nothing and go home, year after year. Do you like that? Ah. I should hope not. But if you want to, then you're in the wrong place this morning. Because I hope that amongst us here in the churches today, we are not like this. And may the Lord open our eyes to see His way. Not man's ways, not traditional way, but really the heavenly way.
Amen.
So, as much as you don't like to share, you have a choice? No. Why? Because you're called to be a priest. Right? How about you? Praise the Lord. I'm so glad the brothers share. Because this is really the way of the Lord. And I hope that Kyle and Jake and many of our young brothers and sisters, by learning to bring the offerings to the Father every week, keeping the feasts of the Lord, you will all become the proper priests.
Amen.
Otherwise, after 50 years, you cannot even say something about the Lord to other people. Only the expert there who went to theological seminary. Only they are qualified and nobody else is qualified. This is not God's way. And so, this is the conclusion, right, of the whole conference here. And I think all this time we have seen that in the whole Bible, God's intention for His people is to build up a kingdom of priests.
Yes.
That means everyone, the 12 tribes of the people of Israel, they all should be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation.
Yes.
God desires to have a kingdom. Not a congregation. He desires to have a nation.
Amen.
The church is the unshakable kingdom, at least should be. Right. But remember, only if it is built by the Lord in His heavenly ways can the church be unshakable. Right. May the Lord really help us. What is God's way? What is His eternal purpose? We've been talking about God's eternal purpose. And then we said, it's the church, the build up is church. But then when we talk about the church, we talked about it in a very traditional way. Limited concept. And many times it's even a natural concept. And just some doctrines from the Bible. There's no real practice. And for many years we heard one city, one church. That's it. One city, one church. Even if it's wrong and altogether often corrupted, it's still the church. You think our God is foolish? Right. So may the Lord open our eyes. So when God called His people out of Egypt, even before they went in their good land, just immediately after they reached, even shortly before they reached Mount Sinai, the Lord told Moses, "Tell my people, if they listen to my commandments, obey my voice, and keep my covenant, Amen. They shall be to me a very special treasure."
Amen.
Special. Right. Separated from among the nations, and they shall be to me a kingdom of priests. That means everyone will be a wonderful priest. You know, well, when we think about priests, we always thought about, oh, serving God. If the priesthood is like the Roman Catholic priesthood, my goodness, I'll run 1,000 miles away from them. Right. This is the human fallen concept of the priesthood. And look at the corruption. Terrible. So, the Lord showed us here that the priesthood is really an honor bestowed by God.
Amen.
And a very special gift given to Aaron and his sons. And the most wonderful thing is that they can all come near to Him.
Amen.
Having a very wonderful living fellowship and relationship with the living God. And to know Him. Right. So, the priesthood is really wonderful. Do not just think in terms of a service. Right. The priesthood is our wonderful privilege to live and walk in the presence of God. Right. To be so holy. And the garment is for beauty and for glory. Isn't that wonderful? Right. So, and you will be dealing with a heavenly business. My goodness. And you're going to be kings. No wonder in the book of Revelation, it is written so clearly, He saved us not only from our sins and to deliver us from our sins, but what? To make us kings and priests unto God. And they shall rule forever and ever. Isn't that wonderful? What can we say? So right here in the very, very beginning, you have to really see how wonderful to be the priests of God. And in the Bible, the kingship and the priesthood always belong together. You cannot be a king without being a priest. Right. These two are really together. They are connected with one another. That is why, coming out of Egypt, the Lord used mainly two persons. One is Moses, representing the kingship, and the other one is Aaron, representing the priesthood, the high priest Aaron and his sons. And then coming out of Babylon, this remnant returning to Jerusalem, you have Zerubbabel, the governor, and Joshua, the high priest. And in order to give us an impression, let us go to Zechariah chapter 6. In Zechariah chapter 6, talking about the branch, which is the Lord, in verse 12. Right? Behold, the man whose name is the branch. From his place he shall branch out, and he shall build the temple of the Lord, Yes, he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule on his throne. So he shall be a priest on his throne. Verse 13, right? 12 and 13. And the council of peace shall be between them both, the priest and the king.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, this is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is both a great high priest,
Amen.
And at the same time the King of righteousness and the King of peace, the one sitting on the throne today. So you can really see in our wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, this both the kingship and the priesthood, and especially the title of being the great high priest, belongs to Christ alone.
Amen.
And this too, combined together in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he is both a king, and he is both a priest, and he is the priest upon the throne. And he is a priestly king and a kingly priest. How about that?
Amen.
And
Amen.
You think it's just for him? What about you today?
Amen.
What are you?
Priestly king. Kingly
priest. What are you today? Revelation chapter 1 verse 6 says, and he has made us and he wants to make us to be what?
Kings.
No wonder Peter talked about the royal priesthood.
Right.
Royal. What does royal mean?
Kingly.
Kingly. Right? You're in the royal lineage. If people ask you, what are you? What is your religion? You say, I'm a Christian. Christian? What is a Christian? The one who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that all? And what do you believe? Oh, just to be saved and not go to hell. Okay. What else? Well, one day after I die, I'll go to heaven. What are you going to do there in heaven? Billy Graham says he's going to play golf there. Goodness. All the golf balls will be falling down now to the earth. People don't know what they're talking about. God's purpose is to make us a royal priesthood. Kings. We're going to rule over the nations in the millennial kingdom as co-kings with Christ. He who overcomes, I will make him to sit with me on my throne. As I overcame and sat down on the Father's throne. He who overcomes, I will give him authority over the nations.
Amen.
And he shall rule over them with a rod of iron.
Amen.
Right. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
This is actually God's ultimate purpose with his people. But unfortunately, we don't want it. We don't want it. Because nobody told you that. You only want to be saved from the lake of fire and you're already happy. And then your dream is to go to heaven, and whether you're going to be there or not, that's another story, okay? But you have to realize what is your purpose, what is God's plan.
Amen.
Yeah. And then we realize that today is still not the time for us to rule, but it is time for you to be a priest.
Amen.
To learn how to be a priest. It's not easy. You have to be perfected. You have to mature. You have to know what is the office of the priesthood. What to do? You really need to know. If you don't know, then how are you going to practice priesthood? Right. If you want to be a medical doctor, you even cannot see blood. How are you going to be a doctor? You're afraid to even inject somebody with a needle. And afraid to let somebody inject you with a needle. You can't be a doctor. Right. You don't know anything about medicine. No, you cannot just be a doctor. You need a lot of training. You need to know all about the physical body. All kinds of sicknesses. Right? You need to learn a lot of things. What about being a priest? Don't think it's not easy. You know, as a doctor, if you mistreat a patient, the patient died. But as a priest, if you serve not according to God's way, you die.
Right.
Serious business. If you're a doctor, the patient dies. Not a doctor. You remember Nadab and Abihu. I like these two names because they're a warning to us. After seeing so many things and hearing all the things that God wanted them to do and how to serve, they went ahead and did things according to their own ways, and fire came down and consumed them. That's why so many Christians today are dead.
Yeah.
Spiritually dead.
Yeah.
Because they just serve in any way they like. So, I know this is a conclusion. In the conclusion, I just want to warn everybody in serious business. Not easy. Not easy, because we are all very self-centered. And we are stubborn people. And we have our own thoughts, our own ideas. You want to do this, you want to do that. You interpret the Bible by yourself, by your own thoughts, and traditionally, and goodness, each one goes his own way, does his own thing, and then you say this is serving God. So what are we going to do? Right. First of all, I want to warn you again, because it is written in the Bible. God desires to have a kingdom of priests. The whole nation must be holy. And all the 12 tribes are supposed to be the priests. And we all know the story when Moses was up there in Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. Those people cannot even wait for 40 days. Can you imagine? It's not 40 years.
Yeah.
And later on they have to wait 40 years and they couldn't even make it. But 40 days and 40 nights, Moses was there, receiving all the instructions of what to do with his people and what was God's plan with his people. They couldn't wait. They were down there. Oh, we don't know what happened to that Moses. And they want Aaron to make a golden calf for them. And they practically force Aaron to do it. And so, you know the story, the golden calf. Can you imagine? This is how we are.
Yeah.
Although we have seen so many things, and they have seen so many miracles, wonderful works of God in Egypt, crossing the Red Sea. Right? Suppose you and I saw those miracles. You think we will be like them? Yes. Yes. Because we are not any different from them. Just a little bit Oh, Moses is gone. Immediately they change. They forgot everything. This is why I encourage you, write it down. You think, after only 6 days, you forget everything was happening in the 6 days. Don't think we are not like them. We are like them. And what happened? They worshipped the golden calf, and God was angry. Moses came down, drew a line, and says, whoever is on God's side, come, you stand on this side. And not only you stand on this side, draw your sword and kill your brothers.
Right.
Why? Not that easy.
Yeah.
It must be because those brothers must be angry with you. Why do you go to the other side and not standing one with us? Who do you think you are, Levi? Somebody special? You're standing on that side? Maybe they will come in and fight with you. What are you going to do? Give in? Okay, we'll side with you. Are you going to do that? Or are you afraid? Are you going to fight or not? No, we should be one. One in worshipping the golden calf? You want to be one with that? Or are you going to be one with God? The Levites, those who are real priests, must stand with God.
Amen.
Or you prefer to stand with the tradition. We should be one, even if we're wrong. Suppose I taught you today to worship the golden calf and tell you that's Jehovah who brought you out of Egypt. The doctrine sounds right, but the object was wrong. Where are you going to stand? Oh, Grandpa is standing on that side. Where are you going to stand? You're not one with Grandpa? Oh, you're Grandpa. You remember that. Pa. Grandpa. Stand with me. Well, so when it comes to the things of God, don't be so nice.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't be caught with your emotion. You stand on God's side and draw your sword. Even if it's your brother, you have to use your sword. Remember, the Lord says, he who loves the father and mother and children more than I is not worthy of me. When it comes to God, you stand with him and not with anybody else. It doesn't matter if the 11th tribe will stand on the other side and only the tribe of Levite will stand on this side. Which side are you going to take? The majority?
God's side.
But God's side, there's very few.
There's always very few.
Well, you know the principle. This is the principle of the Levites, the priesthood.
Right.
You stand one with God.
Amen.
No matter what. So, from the whole nation with 12 tribes, it is reduced to one tribe. The priesthood now belongs to Levites, the tribe of Levi. The rest, they lost it. They lost it. So, then, you know the story when they went into the good land, again the Levites went astray and again helped the people to worship idols. Worshipping idols is terrible. Don't do that. We worship only the living God. And at that time, only Zadok and his sons remained faithful. Again, you need to be faithful. You have to draw another line there this time. It is the sons of Zadok. Zadok and his sons, they remained faithful to keep the service in the sanctuary, that it will not be defiled. They were faithful. So, from the 12 tribes to one tribe, from the one tribe to one household. Goodness! I told the Lord sometimes, please come back quickly, otherwise there won't be anybody left. So, you still want to be the priest? Today, how many really care for this? I don't think anybody cared for this. Right. And then we can really see, right, in the first two pages. D. I just want to stress this matter again, the priesthood and honor bestowed by God. Even the Lord in Hebrews chapter 5, he did not take this honor upon himself, but it was bestowed to him by God.
That's right.
That means you have to be one with God. If you do not do well in school and you barely pass, getting not exactly F, but C plus and C and C and D minus, and you're not going to get a medal, okay? You will not get an honor. Only if you're a cum laude, summa, magna, whatever, you'll get the honor. Praise the Lord. You think God will give the honor just to anybody? The honor of the priesthood supposedly should be for the whole nation. And don't say that's just the Old Testament. No. Today, exactly the same. God's plan will never change. Except in the old covenant, it is the earthly people. Everything was earthly then, but in the new covenant now it is heavenly. Even the kingdom is the kingdom of the heavens. And the house is a spiritual heavenly house. Not built up with physical stones, but living stones. And Jerusalem is a heavenly Jerusalem. But in principle, it's exactly the same. No difference. So, the main services in this wonderful office is to come near to God every day. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I don't know how you understand to come near to God. Just to come near to God, and you don't even dare to open your eyes, and you don't even dare to talk to Him. You just bow down there, closing your eyes. Is that how you talk to God? John says our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ, and it's a continuous fellowship. And the fellowship is a living, wonderful relationship to the living God. And if you have such a wonderful relationship with the living God, you think God's going to keep secrets from you? God's secret is with those who
fear him,
who love him, who have a living relationship with him. Like Abraham, God couldn't keep secrets from Abraham.
No.
I hope we are the true seeds of Abraham.
Amen.
If God cannot show you his secrets, that's not a good news. Right. And in the new covenant, again, in a normal condition, promise of the new covenant is everyone shall know him.
That's right.
Not from the greatest to the least, but from the least to the greatest.
Amen.
He started with the least. You always count with the greatest. But God comes with at least the youngest. All shall know me. Is that a fact today? How many really know the Lord in a living and a real way? All? But that's the normal condition. But if you don't care about his covenant, you don't keep his covenant, just like what the Lord told the people of Israel, then at the end, nobody knows him. You're now an optometrist. Do you still need to call your professor every day? What should I do? Here's another patient. What should I do? How do you operate that machine? How do we determine this and that and blah, blah, blah? The professor will hang up on you. Go back to school.
Professor retired.
Then he will tell you, then you better retire too. You don't know anything. You better retire. You are supposed to already know your stuff. And this is what Hebrews chapter 5 says. The writer of Hebrews says, according to the length of time, you all should have been professors, teachers. And you still need that people will feed you with milk. How can you be such kind of a priest? Impossible. So, don't be like this, okay? Amen, Kim? Right? Don't be like that. Of course, you cannot force the student. Right. God will not force us. But does he have to force you? Maybe in the first year, yes. Right. But if you continue to move on to perfection, to maturity, nobody has to force you. Why does everybody have to force you week after week? Yeah, write it down, write it down, write it down, write it down. How many years do I have to tell you to write it down? But we don't do it. Yeah, I know. But you don't do it. So, we all really need to realize this. We need to take the priesthood seriously. Because if you take away the priesthood, what kind of a nation do you have? Then you might as well tear down the temple. Temple without a priesthood means nothing. Really? That's why Peter put spiritual house and the holy priesthood together. You cannot separate them. You have no more priests? What do you need a temple for? No more cook and waiters? Close down the restaurant. Right? Otherwise, turn it into a dancing hall or a video game shop. Or anything. whatever. For people just to come in and entertain and have a good time and go home. You want to have the house of the living God without a priesthood? God will tell you, shut it down. Shut it down. Even God will destroy it himself if you don't shut it down. He will ask Mr. Nebuchadnezzar to come. The modern day Nebuchadnezzar, he will invite him to come and to tear it down. And he will invite Titus to come and destroy everything. God has all kinds of good ways to do that. Right. Anyway, let's read Micah again. Again? Malachi, I'm sorry. I'm influenced by Emery. You see, even at the very end of the Bible, Micah chapter 2. Oh boy, you see, I forget so easily. Just by looking at Micah, now I got Micah in my head. Let me try it again. Malachi chapter 2. Oh Lord. Let me just read it to you and you follow it in your Bible. And now, O elders, O apostles, O brothers and sisters, and now O deacons, O prophets, O pastors, O priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart, to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a blessing upon you. I will still bless you. No, God will not do that. He is such a loving God. How can he send a curse? Righteous God. And I will even curse your blessings. So don't believe in the so-called blessings today. Yes, I have cursed them already because you do not take it to heart. Behold, I will rebuke your descendants and spread refuse on their faces. Goodness sake, you think God will do that? He'll throw dung on your face. Have you ever known such a God that throw refuse on people's face? Especially the priest's face. Because what they have done is to throw all kinds of junk and refuse on God's face. Yeah. Maybe you haven't read Micah. Malachi. Yeah. And spread refuse on your faces and refuse on your solemn feasts. And one will take you away with it. That means God will throw them away. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant with Levi may continue. You see, God had no intention to change his covenant with Levi. My covenant was with him, one of life and one of peace. That he might fear me, I gave them to him that he might fear me. Having life and peace is not for you to enjoy and do whatever you like, but you might learn to fear God. If somebody says he has life and peace but doesn't fear God, forget about it. The more life you have, the more you will fear the living God, because he is so holy and righteous. How can you have life and do whatever you like? That's not life. And was reverend before my name. He gave honor to his name. Instead of doing things that are offensive to his name and things that are opposite to what he wants. The law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found on his lips. You still want to be a Levite? You want to be a priest? You want? He walked with me in peace and equity. So wonderful. And turned many away from iniquity. My, we do just the opposite. We lead many astray, just like the chief priests, the scribes, the elders, and the Pharisees. They led so many people astray. And people believe in them blindly. The blind leading the blind. And all of them fell into the pit. For the lips of a priest should keep knowledge. This is the living and proper knowledge of the living God. And people should seek the law from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. No wonder in the book of Revelation the Lord wrote to the messenger of the churches. If they are still normal messengers. If you are not a normal messenger, the message comes to you, you change it. Oh, I don't like that phrase. Change it. I don't like that idea. Change it. I don't agree with that. Change it. At the end, it's your message, not his message. Then you are not the messenger anymore. You are a message giver. Becomes your message. That's why don't say anymore, I'm going to give a message. The people should ask you, whose message are you giving? Your own, or is it his message? I'm teaching you to question everything that is not of God.
Amen.
Because according to tradition, you swallow anything everybody says. Right. So here, he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But, verse 8, you have departed from the way. How many ways are there? There's only one way. That is his way.
Amen.
Amen.
You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord. Therefore, I also have made you contemptible and base before all the people, because you have not kept my ways, but have shown partiality in the law. Partially God's law, and the most part of it, your own law.
Yeah.
How do you like that? I think that's good enough reading to warn you. You're dealing with a living God. You're not dealing with, I don't know, theology or tradition of Christianity and just believing and absorbing and swallowing anything and everything that is not in the law. We all have to be Bereans to check with the living Word of God in the Spirit before the living God to see what was said is written here. Lord Jesus. Learn this. Lord, learn this. So, the services of the priest is to serve at the altar and behind the veil. That means all of our service must be confined to the sanctuary, the dwelling of God. And we are dealing with God's house and God's dwelling. You cannot do as you wish. And be in charge of all the offerings and holy gifts. Wonderful. So you can realize in Ezekiel, beginning in chapter 44, only Zadok and the descendants of Zadok are qualified, were given the honor to come near to God and to bring his offering, the fat, and all the gifts, and the blood, into the Holy of Holies to present them to the Lord, putting them on the table for God to really enjoy. The rest of the Levites, they just sweep the floor, do the cooking, guard the gate, and doing all kinds of chores in the outer court. You're not allowed to come near to God. Only the priests. Now you can really realize how important it is. The priesthood. The priesthood. Right. And of course, to teach the word of God and to judge righteously. We have gone through quite a few times already. Not just this conference, all the wonderful offerings. The priests must be an expert. You must be a professional. Must learn all the offerings in details to know how to offer them to the Lord. Right? Which part the Lord wants. Even in which side of the altar to slay the burnt offering. Which side? I said, it doesn't matter which side. It's right there. Is there any difference? This side, that side, north, south, east, west, north, south, east, west. They all look the same to me. This is closest. Why should I carry that heavy bull to the north side? I'll just do it right there in the south side. Is there any difference if I kill it here, kill it there? Huh?
Yes.
What is the difference?
Because it was God here.
That's it. It's as simple as that. Because God says on that side. Believe me, if you do it on the south side, it's not going to work. You might burn yourself in it. God will say, not the bull should enter into that grill, you jump in from the south side. You jump in. Which side to put the ashes?
East.
What's the trouble with you, God? Well, which side are you going to put it?
East.
Come on. Any side is the same. How about northeast? There's so many sides. Why do you have to put it in that side? Well, God said so. It doesn't matter who said what. We all have to learn. All of these things we have to learn. Don't say, oh, it doesn't matter. Oh, well, for you it doesn't matter. But for God, it does matter. What are you going to do? Because God's side is the north side. The north side is the higher side. Zion, the city on the north. South side is the bottom, that's your side. Sorry, you're not on the top, you're on the bottom. You want to do it on the south side? God will put you on the altar. Which side is the sunset and which side is the sunrise? Your side is always sunset. On the west side. Yeah, because you're always going down with the sun. But God's side is the east side. It's always rising up. So which side do you choose? Remember, all the direction, north, south, east, west, is determined and created by God. You can't change the compass. Do it as you like. It won't change. Learn to obey God. Don't ask why? Just like the children. Why? We always like to ask why and no. No and why? Why? Because God says so. As simple as that, can you obey the Lord? Then you have to really be consecrated. Let's jump down to F, the consecration. Do you know that in this consecration you need, one bull, two rams, my goodness, and some cakes. You know, today, well, I heard people say, Lord, I consecrate myself to you. That's today, but tomorrow, that consecration is gone. Because you have no basis in your consecration. Your consecration has nothing to back it up. You change your mind. And you consecrate to do what? So you need a big bowl. Right? And you need two rams. One for the sin offering and the other one for the consecration. And you have a bull for the burnt offering and you have to have the cakes, unleavened cake. We cannot go into details now, it's 12 o'clock. But I just want to let you know that you don't care about the offerings, burnt offering, meal offering, peace offering, sin offering, you don't care about those, how are you going to consecrate yourself to the Lord? I've seen so many people change and change and change, not to the better, but for the worse. Now, again, I see people change. How come your consecration cannot stand? Because your consecration has no bulls, no rams, no cake. You don't even want those things. Your consecration is just your decision, your own desire, and you change your mind. Just like you change your major. Today you started with this and tomorrow I change my mind, change my major. And at the end you change your major to swimming. Why people keep changing? Because you never read the consecration of the priest. You don't know what it meant. And then especially with that ram of consecration, You need to apply the blood here in the right ear. Why? Because to be a priest, this is very important. You listen to God. Don't listen to anything else. Your ears have to be saved. Don't listen to gossip. Of course, if you're a person who doesn't listen to gossip, then you also will not speak gossip. But if you're filled with junk, it'll come out of your mouth. Why didn't you come with lipsticks with the blood? No need. Because only the right ear, the ear to hear the Spirit, the speaking of the Lord. You like to hear so many things. You like to hear jokes, you like gossip, or spatial interpretation. You like to hear so many things that are dead. Dead letters. But if you have blood here in your right ear, you will only learn to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. You hear. That's the first thing of the consecration. Learn to hear God's word. To do what He says. Obey. And hearing means obey. Hearing is not just hearing. If you hear and you don't obey, it's the same as not hearing. That's why I always told the children, you have no ears. When Emmanuel was still very young, doesn't listen. I said, you have no ears. He said, yes, I have. I said, no, you don't. How can we get Cao-hi? Cao-hi. You hear nothing. You're a deaf person. When the Lord speaks, you don't hear. How many people told me, I cannot hear the Holy Spirit speaking. Right. And then the right thumb. You have to put the blood on your right thumb. Meaning to say, whatever you do only what God wants you to do. Today we do a lot of things with ourselves. Oh, I like to do this, I do it. I like to do that, I do that. Your hands are not consecrated. Meaning to say you're free to do anywhere you go, and the right thumb. Go anywhere you like. I'm in the right toe. Right toe. Well, what are we going to do? This is the consecration of the priests. May the Lord open our eyes to see that it is not just a simple thing that we do, because the priest must be holy, must be consecrated. You belong to God, and you are doing God's business.
Amen.
Can I just do anything you like? No. No, you cannot. Right. And not only the priesthood should be anointed and consecrated, the whole temple, and everything within that tabernacle should be anointed and consecrated. The church is not your church. It's not my church. Not the church of the elders, neither of any one of the apostles is not Paul's church. That's why I don't say I'm Apollos, I'm Paul's, I'm Peter's. No. Church belongs to Him. You cannot do in the church life whatever you like. In your house, maybe you can do it. Nobody can tell you what to do in your home. But not in the church, the house of the living God. You have no right, no say, unless it's sinful. Stop. But everything else is consecrated and must be done according to God's ways. If not, it's going to be shaken and taken away and removed. That's why only in the book of Hebrews it tells us that a true tabernacle is pitched by the Lord himself and not man.
Amen.
And it's made by the Lord himself and not by men's hands. And not of this creation. And Hebrews 11 says, God is both the architect and the builder of this heavenly Jerusalem. Sorry, Beverly, you're not the architect of this heavenly Jerusalem. If we are going to build a meeting hall, maybe, yeah, why not? But we're not building a meeting hall. We're building a heavenly city, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem.
Amen.
And who is the architect? God. Who is the builder? God. But, hey, nobody likes that. But who cares? Right? Praise the Lord. And we all must come to the meeting with the holy garments putting on Christ. We put on Christ. The fine linen, pure and bright. Put on the turban. Right. Amen. Everything must be according to him.
Amen.
The rest you can read it.
Yes.
We can have more fellowship maybe in the coming weeks.
Amen.
But may the Lord inscribe all these things in our heart.
Right. Amen.
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 Some prayers.
Amen.
Amen.